Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What a weekend for the city of Detroit. Good morning. Monday morning, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, Greg, both behind the glass. We're all locked in following the NFL draft in the city of Detroit, a record-shattering performance by the people of our city.
It was amazing. I mean, for three straight days, we're talking about all the positives. And I know that there's going to be people that call in, oh, well, I wish I would have had a closer bathroom. I wish I had more food. It was a big-time win for the city of Detroit, for Lions fans, for those that live downtown, putting up with 700,000 plus invading their city. And it was a celebration for 3 days. And it was, I mean, it was longer than that leading up to it. And I don't know what it looked like yesterday, but it was amazing.
The city made a statement. And there's a lot of lazy narratives about Detroit that I hope we can put to bed. Could we handle this? Could we behave ourselves? Could we foster a great environment for the NFL, a record-breaking crowd? Emphatically, the answer was yes. 775,000 shatters the record. And here's the little detail. Would have been more if they didn't stop letting people in. And I get it. There's capacity restrictions and safety. My point is, if the footprint went about a block each direction, if they had let in everybody who wanted to go, could we have flirted with a million people? Well, I think the answer is yes.
Is the number only the number that was allowed in?
I believe so.
Sure. That's what I would think. Yeah.
So think of all the people that went down and could not get in.
Right. Thursday night, Friday night.
I mean, I was down there. Colin was down there. There were tons of people that were not inside. There had to be a million people that invaded or were around Metro Detroit.
When Chicago hosted this, they had 200,000. You could have given Chicago three of these drafts, four of these drafts, would not have shown out the way the city of Detroit showed out.
No.
So when I say they made a statement, 248-539-9797, what statement did the city of Detroit make this weekend hosting the draft? And we're going to talk about the haul from Holmes and the heat check trading up, winners and losers from the draft. But the biggest story, whether you care about football or not, is our city being put on display and shining.
The statement was, okay, we can host major events. The NFL, all right, I don't know if they took a chance. If they felt like the organization was on the rebound, I don't know how they could, because they decided this right when it was 3-13-1. And now 2 years later, they've hosted the draft. They've been to an NFC championship game. I mean, the organization itself is in a much better place. The city, we've known this for some time, is in a much better place than it was a decade ago, 20 years ago. It's not even close. But it put on display the fact that this was an event that people from around the country, from around the world, wanted to come to. They did. Now, what other events can you hold in that same space? Do you want to be able to have major concerts? And I'm talking like next time Taylor Swift comes to town, if she comes in the summer, instead of going to Ford Field, which was a great venue. Maybe you have one outside and you put the same thing up. You know, you never know what the weather's going to be. But you can, she, instead of 65,000, you can have 275,000. I mean, that is the type of thing that you're looking at. And other events, it doesn't have to be even those that are going to top out at 300,000 people. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people that Detroit can host. And it was nobody. In fact, I haven't heard. Maybe we'll learn more in the days, weeks, and months to come. But housing was not an issue. You know, hotel rooms, Airbnbs, transportation wasn't an issue. And that was going to be a big question because there's no mass transit in Detroit. It wasn't an issue. They put things in place to make this possible. And it just shows that they can hold so many more events.
We could handle it. And it shouldn't be an afterthought when it comes to major events in sports. It shouldn't be a city that just kind of you throw them a bone every once in a while. The statement was we can handle it. The statement is maybe even for people who live here, like suburbanites, it's safe. You can go down to Detroit and have a good time. And I also think it says something that we already knew, but everybody else now sees. This is an elite football market. Oh. This city has supported a lousy football team for 60 plus years without much given back, without much reward. This city is passionate, not always positive, right? A lot of losing, but the passion has always been there. This is an elite football city. This is in the upper echelon of football cities in the NFL. I think that rang true. It's also a great sports city, and we've seen that. When we get a little taste, you see how hungry this city has been. We are currently in the longest championship drought in the history of this city sports scene. And when we get a taste, when the Wings are in a playoff chase, Tigers get off to a little bit of a start, the Lions legitimately do historic things. That's the reaction from the city of Detroit. A sleeping giant is waking up. That's the statement they made.
And you want to talk about a sleeping giant waking up. Okay, we saw last year in between Super Bowl championships for the Kansas City Chiefs, they had 315,000. This was an NFC championship run, and unknown whether that was going to be a championship run or not, or an NFC championship appearance. And that's how they showed up. You mentioned it's a rabid fan base for football. Mm-hmm. I think everybody right now walked away from that weekend going, the Detroit Lions win a Super Bowl. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine what downtown will be like for a championship parade? I mean, let's just conservatively say 350,000 people on a night, maybe half a million on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're probably looking at 750,000 people, maybe a million people show up for a championship parade. This place will go nuts. And it's kind of that thing. Everybody walked away going, ooh, I wonder what that's going to be like. And the Detroit Lions are one of those teams that they're pushing the right buttons.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You start to dare to dream a little bit. I mean, they were 30 minutes away from the Super Bowl a year ago.
Right.
Yeah, I think about what this city is capable of. I think that's a great point. The statement showed what this city's capable of. And I do think going into it, we had talked, well, you got to go because you never know when they're going to be back. That was the other statement they made. The draft will be back. The NFL hasn't officially said that. They don't need to. When you set the record crowd and pull it off as well as Detroit did, you come back, not next year, but in what, a decade?
Oh, but it'll be sooner than that. I mean, we're talking about probably not in the next 5 years, and I don't know how many out they've announced, but I would say inside of a decade, 7, maybe 8 years max, it's going to be back in Detroit. We all said that, like, okay. Going in, like, I want to go down because it may not happen in my lifetime again. Now, I'm 100% confident it will happen in my lifetime.
John, I have the future locations for the NFL draft through 2028. So the next 4 locations.
Okay.
You know, next year.
Yeah.
Green Bay.
Loser.
Good luck. Good luck duplicating that, Green Bay.
Yeah. Good luck getting half.
2026. This should be a good host city. The Pittsburgh Steelers will host the NFL draft in 2026.
Yeah.
Passionate football city.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. That's a classic.
They'll do good. New Orleans in 2027. City knows how to party.
Mm-hmm.
2028, D.C.
Ooh. That's a good one, too.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, because they'll probably have it down on the mall. I mean, I would assume. And I mentioned it last Friday. That was the only other event I've been to that was similar to that was, you know, it going from 99 to 2000, the millennium, is down there from the monument, from monument to monument. It was shoulder-to-shoulder people. I think they'll be able to put on, and mainly because they have the open space.
248-539-9797. What statement did Detroit make? Record-setting NFL draft weekend. Keith, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Let me say this to you. I get all the hype. It was a beautiful scene. But remember, we had the Super Bowl some years ago, and that went without a glitch. And to me, it's a big hype. And so who's benefiting from this? Is the neighborhood could benefit from a local a part of Detroit, or everybody could benefit from it? I'm just trying to figure out what's all the hype.
It's a record.
What's all the hype?
What do you mean?
The hype is, the NFL is here. All the good things are happening in Detroit. And I get it. I get it. We're about to turn around and all this other stuff. But, you know, I remember the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was great for Detroit back in the day.
Mm-hmm. But that was almost 20 years ago.
Keith, let me see if I can put it in perspective. Like, us here, we knew and we see every week, every day, what is going on downtown, and we're excited about it. And it's nothing new to us, but this was an opportunity for the rest of the world to be able to see all of the great things that Detroit has to offer. I think that's where the hype comes from.
Yeah, I get that. But there's still certain parts of the city of Detroit are not benefiting from all the hype. Even I was told yesterday, a lot of black vendors didn't benefit from this. So I get it, and Detroit needs all the accolades it can get. But we need to come to, tone it down a little bit, because everybody's not benefiting from the NFL hype.
I would 100% agree. There are still parts of Detroit. There are still parts that need an influx.
Love, attention,
an infusion,
whatever.
Of money, support. And hopefully, I mean, this was a big payday for a lot of businesses, a lot of things that are going on in Detroit, probably for the city itself. Now, I don't know what it costs to put it on.
Mm-hmm.
And because everybody talks about the Olympics, now this isn't the scale of the Olympics, but the Olympics is a losing prospect because they're building major facilities. This wasn't, I don't know if the NFL paid to put up the temporary structure that the draft was housed in. I've got to imagine that this was, there's a lot of money coming into Detroit. Now, what do those that benefited from the most, how do they put that money back into the city and help some of those areas that haven't been touched yet?
248-539-9797. We've got winners and losers coming up at 6:35. What statement did the city make? It's 97.1.
All right, guys, if you've been finding yourself wearing a hat more and more often, or maybe you're turning off your camera on those Zoom calls, it's time to deal with your hair loss, and it's time to talk to the guy who wrote the book on it, literally. That's Dr. Berkowitz at Michigan Hair Restoration. He is Michigan's number one hair restoration specialist, and Dr. B can restore your hair and your confidence just like he's done for thousands of guys over the years. Just jump online. You can read all sorts of reviews from his patients who recommend Dr. B, and you know what? They all talk about how much younger and more confident they feel after their procedure, and they say they couldn't be happier with the results, many saying it's the best decision and investment they've ever made. Michigan Hair Restoration has so many more options as well than just hair transplants. Lots of natural remedies Dr. B will talk to you about as well, and he has treatment plans that fit almost every budget. Now, right now, they've got this special you can't miss. Call and book your consult. Make sure you speak to Maria and mention 97.1, and you're going to get a complimentary natural hair remedy treatment valued at $1,000 at your consultation. It's your gift from Dr. B, and you know he's never offered this before, so call today. Download Dr. B's Ultimate Guide to Hair Loss and Restoration at MichiganHairRestoration.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Detroit showed up, showed out, made a statement. NFL draft record, 775,000. Probably could have flirted with a million if there weren't capacity limits.
Yep.
We showed we can handle this, made a statement. Lazy narratives need to die. We have an elite football city, and they'll be back. That's the statement I think the city made. Want to get to the phones, 248-539-9797. We are going to talk the draft itself, the Lions, six football players, 650. Heat check for Brad Holmes. Want to talk about the moves they made and whether we like them, hate them. I think most people love them. Yeah. We're going to talk about the moves that they made as the hour rolls on. Winners and losers at 635 across the NFL.
I wonder in the city of Detroit. Now, I know that there's a lot of listeners, obviously, down there, but also in Mayor Duggan's office. Did they try and do any estimation? We know what it was inside the fence. What was it outside the fence? Like, I would imagine that there was somebody that was attempting to quantify the impact outside the fence as well.
Well, we got one ticket texter who tries to do that. He says, you want a statement? The economic impact is expected to be over $160 million. That's a statement, John, in Lake Orion. Mm-hmm. One statement would be, we love the Lions and we love the NFL here in Detroit. Yeah, I mean, this is,
yeah.
Sleep on it. It is a great sports city that has supported a bad football team for years. And now that the team's winning, you see what this city's capable of.
Yeah, you talk about what they're capable of. And if you have an influx of what was 100 and... What was the
160
number?
Was the number this guy quotes.
160 million. Now you're able to host other events. Now if an artist comes in and they want to bring their set, do that whole thing. I know I go that, but there's a lot of things that can happen in that space. And I think Detroit showed it can handle the biggest of the big.
Statement is this: we're a football city, NFL on notice. Let's get to Steve in Mount Clemens. Steve, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. Before I get to my point, you parlay what the Lions did during the season with what happened down in the city. There is no doubt Detroit is the king of football in the NFL. We've all known that. But to let the country see what we're about, I couldn't have been happier. What a statement Detroit made. We're the king of football. You know, and you're right, John. We ever get to the Super Bowl and we ever host a title game, it's going to be unbelievable downtown. Just unbelievable. But I want to get to John. I want to ask you, you know, we all know the story with DeMarcus Ware, right? He was on the radar. We wanted him. We were going to take him. And for whatever reason, Millen talked himself out, and he drafted an overweight receiver. But, you know, if you go a few years later, you know, they had the same thing happen. We had Aaron Donald on our radar. He was the guy. But they came up that he was too short, and we don't draft short linemen no more. The Brad Holmes drafts with such conviction, it's unbelievable. And Dan Campbell coaches with such conviction. They believe in what they're doing. They are lockstep with one another and the way they approach things. I couldn't have been happier. I think we got two great corners. We got fresh legs in the secondary now. We got hitters between Branch and the other two. And I couldn't have been happier with the draft, John. What do you think?
I agree, and he does have a lot of confidence. He exudes confidence, Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, and it's interesting because I remember the T-shirt that I had in high school, and every year we had a saying, and one of them was MOB, Magic of Believing, and I think there's heavy weight in that in football because it trickles down from the top. Sheila believes, Brad Holmes believes, Chris Spielman, Rod Wood, Dan Campbell, the assistant coaches, and it all trickles down to the confidence that the players have. And we talk about fits all the time for quarterbacks. Going to a situation where you've got receivers, you've got a line to protect, you've got a coach that is going to put you in a position for success. And I think Dan Campbell's staff, you know, if Terrion Arnold goes to another team, could he be good? Would he always be good? Maybe. We don't know.
Situation
but in Detroit,
yep.
I think there's a belief that if you come here, we're going to coach you up and you're going to be good. Now, does it mean you're going to be a Pro Bowler, all pro? I don't know. Same thing with Enos Rakestra. If you have two starting corners, and I'm not talking about this year, but I'm talking 3-4 years down the road. If both of these guys become CB1 and CB2, and I don't care which one it is, that's a huge win, but it's about the development. And then you go to a guy like Giovanni Manu. Can you develop a guy like this? Because there needs to be a lot of development, but is it the perfect spot for him? And I would argue Hank Fraley is one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL in developing and putting out players that are technically sound. And it makes me believe with the conviction that whether it's Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, that they're going to make this work.
Holmes traded up 4 times in the draft. I called it a heat check. We'll talk about it at 6:50. Yep. And yes, there's a lot to discuss about the players they selected. I can't wait to deep dive with this offensive tackle. Like, you're the person I want to hear from most, John, about this offensive lineman they picked. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Okay, so following the NFL draft and the record-setting attendance, Mayor Mike Duggan and Governor Whitmer applauded the city and the event's success. On Saturday, Governor Whitmer announced that the draft had officially set a 3-day attendance record. Now, officially, it's over 775,000 people that were there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that was, as she said, and counting.
That's awesome.
There continued to be more people. It's pretty incredible. Mayor Mike Duggan praised the flow of the event, said there was no issues, all smiles, said that the goal, obviously, well, lots of goals, but one of them was to change the image nationally of Detroit, and said mission accomplished. Mm-hmm. Pretty darn incredible. And as far as more events coming, it sounds like get ready. More major events will be coming to Detroit. The city of Detroit will likely get an NHL and NBA All-Star game in the future. This is all according to Claude Molinaro, the president and CEO of Visit Detroit. So he was speaking to WXYZ and he confirmed that they were actually hosting officials from the leagues right now or over the weekend because they're interested in bringing one of their All-Star games here. Also said there's going to be some other big events, including the Big Ten football and basketball championships. So lots of things to look forward to, yeah. which is incredible. Over the weekend, a 23-year-old Dearborn Heights woman was arrested for driving the wrong way on multiple Detroit freeways and doing so while she was, shocker, drunk, right?
Come on.
I know. Early on Saturday morning, police began receiving multiple 911 calls about a wrong-way driver who was headed east in the westbound lanes of I-96. And once troopers got to the area, they were then alerted that the woman was now headed south in the northbound lanes of I-75. Oh, my goodness. Thankfully, troopers were able to perform a pit maneuver, able to stop the woman's vehicle. Nobody was injured. The driver was safe. No other crashes were reported, which is pretty miraculous when you think about what she was actually doing. Finally, a Detroit police officer is facing charges after threatening his 10-year-old nephew with a taser. It was all captured on video, and in a release, the prosecutor's office said that 21-year-old Caleb Williams allegedly threatened and frightened his 10-year-old nephew by arching his department-issued taser while standing in close proximity to the child. He is currently suspended with pay, and he is facing charges of second-degree child abuse and felonious assault.
Brutal.
Yes.
Heather with the news. All right. NFL draft winners and losers. We look around the league. That's next. It's 97.1.
Hey, the road to the NBA Finals starts now, and new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, and you can use it during the rest of the NBA playoffs. That's a $5 bet, and you're going to get $150 in bonus bets, whether you win or lose, and you can bet on things like three-pointers made in the game, first basket score, over-under point totals, money line, spread. It doesn't matter and because there's so much more that you can choose from. Just go to FanDuel.com/Jansen to get started and learn more. That's FanDuel.com/Jansen. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA and 97.1 The Ticket. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager. Only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Three-day extravaganza in the books. The NFL draft is over. And naturally, we have to have winners and losers, John.
Of course.
Of course. Can't wait 3 years. Marshmallow test this. We got winners and losers from the NFL draft. We'll start winners. We'll alternate. You lead off.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with the Indianapolis Colts. When you look at the needs that they have, and obviously, you know, coming off of a really good year and a quarterback that was hurt, they're the first ones that jumped into the deep end of the defensive pool and broke the streak of 14 players that were offense to start the draft. If Leiatu Latu can stay healthy, because he was medically retired 2 years ago, has not suffered any detrimental consequences since he transferred to UCLA, and then they were able to get A.D. Mitchell in the second round. Their offensive line, Gonclaves from Pittsburgh, the offensive of the center from Wisconsin, who I think is an underrated, solid player. I think they addressed everything that they needed to do, and they gave their young quarterback another weapon. They're going to protect him. They gave him a couple of weapons because they got the other receiver from Oregon State. I think they are the ones to me that absolutely nailed this draft.
I'll say it so you don't have to. Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers were a winner. Mm-hmm. Alt to me was the safest player in the draft. Fits an identity tone setter for Jim Harbaugh in the top five. Ladd McConkey, they need some help receiver underneath. Pick up the sticks. Fits the offense. The running back they took out of Troy late. I really like him. I think there's a chance he ends up being the lead back before all is said and done. Could be a steal. And then they throw in Jerry Rice's kid in the seventh for a flyer. I thought the Chargers were a winner.
Yeah, and I'm going to go Baltimore next. Because when I look at Baltimore, and I'm assuming that we're saving the Detroit Lions, because I'll throw them in there. But I'm going to say Baltimore first because, I mean, it's so Baltimore, right? That they just are, they draft good football players. And you look at the cornerback, Nate Wiggins, a lot of people had him probably ranked a little bit higher, but all defensive backs, all defensive players slid down in the draft. Rosengarten, the right tackle from Washington. That's the one thing I can really appreciate about that Washington offensive line. they were athletic. Very athletic. Moved well, blocked well, pass protection. Michael Penix all season long was not under pressure. Mm-hmm. And both tackles were high draft picks because of that, and deservedly so. Adisa Isaac, I talked about him a lot throughout the course of the draft. I was surprised that he dropped to the third round. But then you got Tez Walker, who I think is untapped because of the whole transfer. He was held out at the beginning of last year at North Carolina. And TJ Tampa, how about this dude in the fourth round? He was a guy that originally Mel Kiper and other mocks had late first. And Mel actually said it, favorite players in the draft was TJ Tampa, was one of, I think there was 12 or 13 of them that he had. And I think just quality throughout the course of this draft for them.
What does Mel know anyway? No, the Ravens are a team you could put on this list every year. It feels like they are one of the best drafting teams. Same with the Steelers. I'd give them love. But just for the sake of time, let me throw in another one. The Eagles doubled up on their corner needs. I think the late bloomer pass rusher they took, Hunt, in the third round is interesting for a team that does a good job scouting that stuff. And they added picks along the way. I feel like they got depth late in the draft with Trotter and Shipley, running back, linebacker, didn't reach at those positions, but still stocked the cupboard. And they have 9 picks for next year. So it feels like top to bottom, the Eagles had a good draft.
Yeah. I'm just honorable mention. Can I go with an honorable mention?
Yeah, please. I got a couple we can throw out at the very end here.
All right. New Orleans Saints. I thought that they did a good job. Now, Spencer Rattler, I'm going to set that aside. Most quarterbacks I'll set aside. They were able to pick him up in the fifth round. But their first two picks, Fuaga from Oregon State, I think is day one instant starter. And then Kool-Aid. We talked about him time and time again here, falling to the Lions at 29. It would be a safe pick. They got him at 41. I thought they did a tremendous job. And Jalen Ford, linebacker from Texas, sneaky stud. Watch the way that he plays. And it may take him a year or two to really make a huge impact, as it does with a lot of linebacker-type players. But, I mean, I think he is a bad dude.
Yeah, I like him. A couple more honorable mentions. Obviously, City of Detroit. I think J.J. McCarthy, much covered. This was a good landing spot for the Michigan quarterback. And I thought Saban and Belichick, both in analyst roles, were great.
Yeah.
Belichick's telling the story of how he traded for Randy Moss, and Randy hung up on him 2 to 3 different times, thinking he was being prank called. I thought both did a really good job in different roles as analysts. Losers from the NFL weekend.
Well, I'll start with, I mean, what I thought was the strangest pick in the draft. I'm sure it's probably on your list as well. But Atlanta, what the heck were you doing? Because you take Michael Penix after giving your quarterback $200 million, $100 million guaranteed, $180 million, whatever it was. I mean, who's counting pennies at that point? And then you take a quarterback number 8 overall that we probably won't see for 3 years. Now, I think that is the way to go. But Atlanta, if you go out there and you pay a quarterback 4 years, $180 million, Kirk Cousins, you want to give him more weapons. I didn't understand it. And then I don't know how I'm going to say this last name, but their second round pick, Rook Arororor.
Close enough.
I mean, this is a dude that was probably going to be there in the fourth, fifth round, and you take him 35.
Didn't they trade up to get him too?
Three picks into the second round. Now, that's pressure on the kid that he doesn't deserve, because he's going to be asked to go in there and be productive and play. It just, the only pick that I like that they have, honestly, is Braylon Trice out of Washington. Other than that, they didn't get any dudes. They didn't get any players. They didn't get anybody I look at and be like, okay, that's a difference maker.
With Atlanta specifically, everybody's going to list him as a loser. I don't know. Of the group, Cousins is really the loser. He's going to get $100 million.
Oh, no.
But I think Penix, who I thought was one of the more pro-ready quarterbacks, now has to sit 2, maybe even 3 years. And Atlanta doesn't get a contributor with a top 10 pick. Yeah. Atlanta's an obvious loser. I did want to double down. Dak Prescott, deep receiver draft. They didn't take one till the 6th. Didn't address the running back room. Are they just bringing back Zeke? I thought Dak and the lack of support with the weapons was also one of the losers.
Yeah. And I agree. I mean, we've kind of all wondered what what's going on in Dallas? What is Jerry Jones doing?
This didn't feel like the all-in offseason that he had promised.
No, especially when you're the last year of a contract for Dak Prescott. Don't you want to give him as many tools to be successful as possible?
I guess not. I listed the Niners. They drafted two receivers early while still keeping Debo and Ayuk. That feels like an unsolved position. Anyone want to tell them their O-line has been on the decline for years? Who's your right tackle? I put the Niners in the loser category.
Yeah. I put Carolina in the loser category as well for a team that needs so much, especially up front. They need to improve their offensive line. They didn't draft one offensive lineman. They took Jonathan Brooks, who was the number one running back coming out of college this year in the second round. So they didn't stretch to take him, but I don't think that was the biggest need that they have. And it's just, I'm looking at him going, you didn't do anything to help your number one overall pick last year. Xavier Leggett, good receiver, but...
And they took Sanders, the tight end. Yeah, okay, I'd buy Carolina. I had the running back position as a loser. First taken 46th overall. That's the second latest selection for the first running back in an NFL draft. The running back position continues to be devalued.
Well, is it devalued or there just wasn't great value coming out? Like there was, I didn't see value.
Both can be true. I agree. This was not a great crop. It's not like great players were passed over.
Yeah, but this is coming on the heels of two impact running backs were taken in the first round last year. With Bijan mm-hmm. Robinson and obviously Jahmyr Gibbs, I just didn't see anybody of that caliber in this draft.
I have the city of Green Bay as a loser because good luck following the act that was Detroit. Yes. And how about the Bears drafting a punter in the fourth round? Tell me you don't plan on picking up third downs without telling me you don't plan on picking up third downs. Punter in the fourth, John?
Did you see Caleb Williams' text to him that was widely noted? That he said, don't worry, you're not going to have to punt a whole lot.
A great punter at Iowa, but what are we doing taking a punter in the fourth round?
Well, actually, the Chicago Bears, to me, I don't want to say it, but they had one of the better drafts.
I know.
You know, and it depends on how, obviously, it'll all be judged on what Caleb Williams does. I don't know if Romo Dunze, who I think is a great player, can do enough to save this class if Caleb Williams is a bust.
Anybody else? Losers?
No.
We covered it. Winners and losers. If we miss someone, trust me, I know you'll let us know on the ticket text. It's 97.1.
Hey, looking for ways to level up your fitness? Well, you can join the YMCA with no contract and no joiner fees and for just $3 a day. I'm loving all the YMCA has to offer, including access to indoor pools, Les Mills group fitness, hundreds of machines, discounts on personal training, which I am taking a full advantage of right now, all with free child watch while you work out. And now you can try the Y for free. Visit any of the 7 Metro Detroit locations and get a free guest pass. Learn more at ymcadetroit.org and find what moves you and find your why today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tigers win, take 2 of 3 against the Royals. They've won 3 straight series, 16-12, 1 win away from overachieving. John, we set the mark for 16 wins at the end of April. We got 2 coming up against the Cardinals before May 1st.
Should get at least 1 win out of that, if not both. I mean, the Cardinals aren't a great team this year. Yep. And then it gets harder.
Yep. And there's your baseball. Let's talk draft. Let's talk Brad Holmes, and let's talk about exactly what he left the draft with. Conviction was obvious. The man traded up 4 times. He He wanted to trade up to get Rakestraw. It would have been five trades up in the NFL draft. He had guys he wanted. He said, I'm going to just do what I have to do to get him. He was on a heater. That in the zone, I'm on fire. I can't miss. I'm going to just go for it. I'm going to go get my guys throughout the draft. And he did. John, I have two compliments and one complaint.
Okay.
With Brad Holmes' draft. Let's start with the good stuff, the compliments. And there's no shortage of them this morning. Most people really like what he did. The Lions gave up the most yards per catch last year, the most air yards in the NFL last season. The problem was downfield coverage. Mm-hmm. They doubled down on two dogs to start the draft. Arnold and Rakestraw. Both will come up and stop the run. Both can play man coverage. Both are physical. Both have that confident mentality. That's doubling down on a clear downfield weakness. That's a compliment. Two dogs they never should have been able to get, right? The idea was Arnold, you can't take Arnold. You're picking at 29. He fell a little bit. They moved up a little bit. They got their guy. And Rakestraw was someone who some people thought could have gone in the first.
Yeah.
They get him at the end of the second. I thought that was a clear commitment to getting not only the best player available, but guys that really do make this defense better.
Yeah, when you put it with, you know, Tariq Arnold, and you put it with Davis, you put him with Branch. Now you have, I mean, Arnold is going to be your, eventually, hopefully he's CB1.
Mm-hmm.
And now Carlton Davis, like, what do you do with him? Like,
he's only got 1 year on his deal currently.
Right, but so for this year, and who knows who's CB1? I don't even want to debate that right now. But yeah. You have really good talent, guys that can play press man coverage, which is what Aaron Glenn wants to do. And then you throw on top of that, how we're going to use Brian Branch. You're going to use him as a safety, as a nickel. You've got Rakestraw, who is kind of similar, not as, I don't think, as physical as Branch. But you can use him and be creative. Now you throw Malifonwu in there. Kirby Joseph. The secondary has now, I'm not going to say it's a strength yet because I need to see it on the field. I need to see these young guys develop. But on paper, they got not just a little bit better from last year. They got a lot better.
It's a young, aggressive, ball-hawking group of players. You're right, it's still unproven, but that's part of the value in Carlton Davis is getting a veteran to secure one side while you give the other two corners. We know there's a learning curve in the NFL. These are the best athletes in the world, and you got to mirror them. You got to react in real time and keep up with them. I do think they've given themselves a chance to be much better in the secondary, especially second half of the season when those guys start to get their wind and get their feet under them. And
yeah.
What do they always say? We want to win in December, which you extend to January, February. That's the type of moves they made. Because last year, late in the season, they were getting beat up and down the field in the secondary. So it's not a surprise then that they target two players they really liked first and second round on the corner spots.
Well, and you pair that with what's going on in the division, all right? In Minnesota, established as one of the best wide receiving cores, if not the best in the NFL. You've got to be able to match up deep with them. And now all of a sudden you look at Chicago, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Romo Odunze. Those are some dudes that you're going to have to cover. And if you can cover them, now you can get after both young quarterbacks that Minnesota and Chicago has.
My second compliment, we wanted offensive line help. It looks like they got two offensive linemen that have the ability to stick here long term. That's appreciated. Now, we'll get into your assessment of Gio Manu because I want to hear it from you this morning, 7:02, exactly how he fits as a project out of British Columbia. But it's clear that Holmes looked at the guy and said 6'8", 350, athletic. There's some traits. We like him. And then Mahogany is the guard they took out of Boston College. And I know, six-round pick. What do you mean? Can he stick? He was a guy that a lot of people thought could have gone on late day two. They got him late day three. He is a dirt bag, as Brad Holmes says, which is a compliment for an offensive lineman to be a dirt bag. Your interior offensive line mauler, who is a multi-time captain. I thought it was nice to see some investment in the offensive line to keep the engine revving for years to come.
And I think that's a better pick. Now, I'm not trying to throw Sorsdahl under the bus, but he's a guy that's going to take, again, some time to develop. And we saw him play last year, and he was better at the end of the year than he was at the beginning of the year. He was asked to do a little bit too much at the beginning of the year due to injury. And I'm just I have a question mark above him and a question mark on all these guys because we haven't seen them play at this level. But Mahogany is a guy that has played against high-level talent. I know what he brings because I've been able to see it on film against some of the best that college football has to offer. He's a solid, solid player on the interior.
My concern, I think it's more of a minor gripe. I don't love that the Lions are still going to have to blitz their way to a buddy for Aiden Hutchinson. 11th in blitz rate a year ago, 22nd in sacks. John, just to keep it consistent, when the offseason began, we said that was one of our three biggest priorities for this team, and it was essentially Marcus Davenport on a one-year deal who hasn't been productive for 2 years, and then they did not address the edge at all. They're going to have to blitz to get pressure. I don't like when you have to do it. Maybe they'll have the corners who can press up and man up and win one-on-one, but I hate that that's the way they have to play based on the fact that they didn't address the edge.
Well, I'm expecting Aleem McNeil to take another step forward and be a little bit better in year four than he was last year, and he was pretty good last year. You've got DJ Reader, who is a guy that can apply pressure from the interior, but you're talking about a guy that is opposite. Now, if you're on first and second down, Davenport has to be that guy. On third down, third and long, it sounds to me like they're banking on James Houston being able to be what he was as a rookie. Now, I don't think he gets back to that level of production. And I'm still kind of curious as to how he got seven sacks as a rookie in, eight games? But
I think it was eight sacks.
Yeah. So I think they are counting on him to be a major player this year. We didn't see it at all last year because of the injury until late, and then should have been flagged for a late hit on a quarterback.
But does that concern you at all that they would be maybe banking on that?
Nobody knows except them. They're the ones that see these guys every single day. And if they believe James Houston is legit, he is that third down pass rush specialist, because that's all he will be. He's never going to be a guy that sets the edge. Right now, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. The issue that I had was, all right, Amon-Ra St. Brown, J-Mo, and yeah, you've got Khalif could be a third option at receiver. DPJ is there. Antoine Green, what type of step does he take from being a late-round pick last year to being productive this year? You lose a guy in Josh Reynolds that was very reliable up until the very end, and I just don't see very good depth there. What happens? Because Amon-Ra St. Brown has missed a game almost every year. What happens in those games? And yes, you've got Sam Laporta, you've got Jahmyr Gibbs, you've got other guys that can take up some of that production, but I was hoping to see another weapon as a wide receiver.
I wouldn't have minded. We talked about it, but it was not something that I thought was urgent because of a guy you didn't mention. The player they traded up to draft 12th overall. Make a little more room on his plate, and I think that's only right that you would assume J-Mo, right, this year, big year, go double your production. What the hell? Why not?
Yeah, double then some.
Sure.
Double plus.
My point is that may be some of this. And is he as reliable as Reynolds? Certainly doesn't have the familiarity with Goff, but the skill is there. And he looked good at the end of that season, where it wasn't just gadget plays, but like real route running and getting open. And I think that's more of the expectation. 248-539-9797. What do you make of what Brad Holmes did? Trading up, getting his guys. As you look at the haul, you can give a grade. I know grades the day after the draft are frowned upon.
You can, whatever floats your boat. You can give a grade if you want. I will not give. I'll either approve or it's pass fail right now.
I'll throw a letter grade on it, and people are encouraged to do so on the phones. And then, John, we do need to get into this offensive tackle because I want your area of expertise. Can this guy be an NFL guy? It's 97-1.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.